CANES, the Consolidated Afloat Networks and Enterprise Services Program, is the Navy's answer to the fact that currently each ship in the fleet is its own floating IT stovepipe. Few shipboard networks are physically designed the same way, and there are at least three broader networks that serve the entire fleet. CANES aims to consolidate all of them into a single standards-based architecture. The system is being installed on its very first ship, the USS Milius, right now. It's a third of the way done, and the Navy had planned 26 more installations this year. But that was all before all the military services responded to Pentagon orders to start conserving cash wherever they could. Even before the sequestration cuts that are set to kick in on March 1st, the Navy's already expecting to cancel around 8 of those installations in 2013. The problem is that the Navy's already been told to cancel all ship maintenance availabilities in the third and fourth quarter of this year to save funds for more urgent warfighting priorities. The Navy needs to schedule CANES installations during those exhaustive overhaul periods because replacing all that network equipment is an intrusive process. Rear Admiral William Lair, the Navy's Director of Warfighting Integration for Information Dominance, says the Navy's still exploring its options. It may be able to find other opportunities to install CANES while ships are simply parked at a pier, but a lot depends on how much time ships are going to spend in port in the near future.
Then I think the other piece that gets pressurized is really what the global force management system demands and how that prioritizes us spending our money. You know, one of the things that had to happen for Truman not to sail is really back off the 2.0 carrier presence. If that comes back, that kind of changes, you know, this again. But right now we would see it, you know, someplace on the order of changes to about 8 ships.
It's not yet clear how the delays would impact CANES' overall cost or schedule. Navy officials have been proud of the program so far. They say using commercial standards and frequent competition caused the program to beat initial cost estimates by more than 40% in the design phase of the project. And Lair told an AFSCME DC audience it's one of the stepping stones the Navy needs to start bringing more simplicity to an IT enterprise that up until now is needlessly complex and non-uniform.
I envy many of you with 20,000 seat networks. The Navy's problem is much different. Just if you look at our NMCI network alone and COSC and what we're doing, we're talking about 325,000 seats. It's a daunting task, and when you have weak governance in an enterprise environment that big, it's really hard to do the modernization. So we've got to get away from this complexity model.
On the shore side of the Navy's IT operation, the service has begun to make its IT infrastructure less complex. Over the past 2 years, it's been inventorying its data centers, applications, and servers, and imposing governance designed to cut out costs and begin the process of migrating disparate technology systems to a future cloud-based architecture. Lair says CANES will at least give the afloat side of the Navy a common network architecture, but it's still wrestling through how to leverage concepts like cloud computing on deployed ships, where connections to DOD's global information grid are often slow and frequently non-existent.
We've got to figure out what this means for warfighting. So do you get an advantage if you can get all of the data that you need to do anti-submarine warfare in the Western Pacific? Do you get better visibility amongst the task forces, both to do theater ASW and to do the local defense that a carrier strike group has to do? That's what we need to figure out, how you think through the warfighting challenge here, how you cope with the data replication challenge that you have in a disconnected environment, in a low bandwidth environment, to be able to do that. We've got a couple of pilots that are on board with Office of Naval Research, Navy Tactical Cloud, so it's really going to go through and look at anti-air warfare, anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface warfare as vignettes to understand that how we do this. And at the same time, we've got to take the data center closures that we've been doing for the last year and a half and bring that into our ERP systems as well, so it really we can see somewhat of a seamless environment between the operational picture, the intelligence picture, and our business environment to do that.
Lair says the Navy's working on plans that will allow ships in a certain geographic area to at least connect with one another without relying on satellite connections, which the military worries are vulnerable to attack by potential enemies. They'd each be linked to a connection to a Triton unmanned aerial vehicle, the Navy's version of the Air Force's Global Hawk, circling maybe 60,000 feet above. But while those unmanned systems create opportunities for the Navy, they're also creating new challenges. The airborne and undersea models the Navy's using today create vast quantities of data, data that needs to be monitored and analyzed. He says the Air Force has already been coping with that particular headache in managing drones over Iraq and Afghanistan.
And if you walk into that watch floor, and I think you could probably fit about 5 of these dining rooms on that watch floor that's down at Langley, It's filled full of 22-year-old airmen watching full motion video. They're watching TV. We've got to have a better way to approach this. That was, I think, the brute force industrial age response to how we deal with volume as we've gone through the last several years.
Lehr says the Navy is trying to learn lessons from the UAV missions the military's been flying over land for the last several years and figure out how the maritime domain might be different. But he says one thing is clear. The Navy needs a better way to manage data in deployed environments.
You've got to be able to deal with it in real time. And I think the challenge there is really having, you know, better artificial intelligence that makes up for not having operators in the airplane. And what you find is you find that we've approached the PED, the processing, evaluation, and dissemination, you know, from a throw people at the problem. That will work, but you know, as you read time and time again, our people are the most expensive thing. They're going to be there for 20 to 30 years working, and a long time after that. So there's got to be different ways that we can just attack this other than having 22-year-old sailors sitting in a facility at Suitland or in Bahrain. It doesn't matter where it is. There's got to be everything put together in terms of processing, sensor, and evaluation.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.